Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon and happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we're talking about Pope Francis actively campaigning for the Democratic due date abortion candidates, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we have explosive new evidence that Pope Francis is working to get baby killers Joe Biden and Kamala Harris elected in the United States presidential elections in November. Not only that, the Pope has also called for a new world order to be created as an answer to the COVID crisis. If you wonder why we call Jorge Bergoglio, a.k.a. Pope Francis, the socialist Jesuit from Argentina, the false prophet, today's podcast will clear all that up for you. Today we're talking about Pope Francis and his relentless campaigning for the Democratic Party. Now, you may say to me, I thought that the Catholic Church was neutral. I thought that Pope Francis is the Pope over all people. Isn't he neutral? No, Pope Francis is not only biased, he is highly biased, and he has an agenda. And his agenda is so strong that he is willing to promote two people, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, both of whom support abortion on demand, due date abortion, and even abortion the day after that the baby has been delivered. Pope Francis, as you're going to see in an unbelievable clip that we have for you from LifeSite News, which is a pro-life Catholic website, and you're going to see exactly what the truth is and exactly what's going on, and it's going to be mind-blowing. It really is. But on the other hand, if you're a Bible believer, and if you have spent any time at all in Revelation 12, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Revelation 18, then you know what the Catholic Church and the Vatican is all about. You know that they are the whore of Babylon. They are the great, mysterious woman who rides the seven-headed beast. And today, we're going to show you how Pope Francis is actively campaigning for the Democratic Party. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for everything you give us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for even just the little things like fixing the chat room and helping us, Lord, to figure out all these issues with the website and the new server and all the new software and all the new hardware and all the dozens and dozens of intricate little pieces that go with that, Lord. You're in control of everything. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you. We ask for your blessing. We ask, Lord, that if there be one here who's lost, that something would be said and done, that you would touch the heart of a lost sinner, Lord, and lead them to you, that they might be saved. And for those of us sinners who are saved, we thank you, God. We ask you to yet again wash us clean and give us a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, and lead us and guide us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody, and happy Friday. We didn't have a Bible study on Wednesday night because it was my youngest daughter's birthday, and she was visiting from Colorado, and we just spent a lot of great time together. In fact, my daughter Megan, she worked with me here at the new Mudflowers Studios on Tuesday and Wednesday. And take a look at this for those of you in the chat room. Take a look at, I'm going to put a picture in of all of the shirts, the Flight 777 on Titus 213 airline shirts. And they finally arrived from the printer on Tuesday. Finally. And we have been packing them up and shipping them out and seemingly around the clock. So if you have ordered a Flight 77 on Titus 213 airline shirt, It is either already in the mail to you, or it will be either today or tomorrow. We anticipate that, Lord willing, that every single order will be concluded by the end of Saturday afternoon. So I'm looking at the names in the chat room right now, and at least half of you guys, I have already put the shirts in the mail to you. And the other half, they'll be in the mail, well, I want to say today, but I don't think so today. Probably, definitely, Lord willing, tomorrow we will get that done for you. But the shirts look fantastic, and I am so glad that I got the, you know, these shirts aren't cheap. They're not cheap to buy, but they weren't cheap to produce either. And you are absolutely going to love the incredible quality of these shirts. They feel great. They look great. They're performance shirts. They're moisture wicking. And, I'm trying to post this picture in the chat room, but for whatever reason, it doesn't want to go. But your shirts will be there in the next day or so. So that's exciting, exciting. And if you haven't ordered your Flight 777 shirts yet, please go to nowthenbegins.com, click on the tab for NTEB Media, and check it out. And you know what's really, really cool is that these shirts are not just going out all over America. These shirts are going out to places like the Netherlands and Australia and Canada. They're going out all over the world. And that's really exciting for me, because every time that you wear these shirts, it is going to be reminding the saints that we have an unbreakable appointment with Jesus Christ in the clouds, in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. So I just put the link into the chat room. If you haven't ordered your shirt yet, please feel free to do so. And you're going to love these shirts. Absolutely. So with that, let's get started with today's broadcast. We're talking about Pope Francis today, and we are talking about his subtle but very intense campaigning for Joe Biden. And let's just get started right off the bat. I'm not going to make you wait for this clip. I told you I have this great clip from LifeSite News, which, in the interest of full disclosure, the people at LifeSite News are Catholic, and they are an anti-abortion, pro-life group of people. But this is what they have found out from a new document that Pope Francis has published called Fratelli Tutti. And Pope Francis is absolutely, let's think about this just for a moment. Pope Francis is absolutely obsessed with the brotherhood of all men. Now, on the surface, and if you don't know much about the Bible, that might sound like a good thing, that we're all brothers and sisters and we're all God's children. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible does not say that we're all brothers and sisters, and the Bible does not say that we are all God's children. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." So what is Paul saying here? If you want to be considered the child of God, it is not because you have been physically born in this world. You have to be born again. Your first birth is no good. And that's why Paul says, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the new birth. That's the rebirth. Now, some people might say, why do I have to be born again? I'm a Catholic, and my church doesn't say anything about being born again. Why do I have to be born again? Genesis 5:3. In Genesis 5:3, we see the reason why Jesus said what he said in John 3:3. In Genesis 5:3, we read this. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. The reason why you and I have to be born again, if we want to go to heaven, if we want to have salvation in Jesus Christ, we have to be born again because our first birth is in the image of Adam. Read Genesis 5:3 for yourself. The idea, and Estevic just said it in the chat room, the brotherhood of man is a secular belief. And that's exactly right. You've made my point for me. Thank you. The brotherhood of man is a secular idea. It is not a, well, and you could even say it's a religious idea. It is not a biblical idea. The Bible says exactly the opposite. Genesis on the brain. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then John 3:3 says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why does Jesus say that you have to be born again to go to heaven? Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Why do you have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God? And that is because Genesis 5:3 says that you and I and every human being that would live from Seth all the way up was born in the image of fallen Adam and Eve. Your first birth is no good. You need to be reborn. So why are we talking about being born again? Well, because it's exciting. I love talking about being born again. And if you're not born again, it is our hope and our prayer that you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you'll say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and ask him to save your soul. We get so excited about that here at Now the End Begins. We love to see people get saved. And if you're not saved, if you're one of those precious Roman Catholics that Jesus Christ went to the cross to make the payment for, then we invite you to trust Jesus Christ, not the Pope, because you're going to see today that the Pope is eminently untrustworthy. We don't ask you to trust the Roman Catholic Church. We don't ask you to trust the Baptist Church. We don't ask you to trust any church. We ask you to trust the words of Jesus Christ. We ask you to trust the payment that was made for you on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago and get saved. So Pope Francis writes this document called Fratelli Tutti, which is his ongoing obsession with the brotherhood of all men. And if you remember back in February of 2019, Pope Francis, when he created Chrislam with that document called the Declaration of Human Fraternity, you remember that Pope Francis, he has based the whole Chrislam scam on the so-called fraternity of all men, unsaved men, that is absolutely a lie. It is non-biblical. It is unbiblical. And there is no such thing as the human fraternity of all men. Because guess what? When all men die, they're going to be separated. They're going to be separated by those who trusted Jesus Christ and those who did not trust Jesus Christ. And you will not spend all eternity with anybody who is unsaved. And so unsaved people are not your brothers and sisters from a biblical perspective. Should you treat all humans decently and nicely and fairly and honestly? Absolutely. If you see somebody who is an unsaved person and they're being hurt or they're being abused, or should you step in and defend that person? Absolutely, you should. But when it comes to calling another man my brother, I can only do that if that man or that woman, if I call her my sister, has professed faith in Jesus Christ. I have three biological brothers, and they are not saved. They are unsaved. If any one of them were to die today, sadly, and it breaks my heart to even think about this, but my own brothers, if they were to die today, would die and go to an eternal hell from which there is no escape, because they are not born again. They do not have salvation in Jesus Christ. So, are they my biological brothers? Absolutely. If any one of them called me and said, "Can you help me?" I would absolutely drop whatever I was doing and I would go help them. But are they my brothers from a biblical perspective? No, they're not, because they do not put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And if you guys could just, whenever the thought occurs to you, if you could keep my three brothers in your prayers and pray for their souls and pray for their salvation, I would very much appreciate that. Thank you. So, Pope Francis, he writes a document called Fratelli Tutti, The Brotherhood of All Men. And I want you to listen to this clip, and I'll jump in and comment as the clip goes along. But I want you to listen to this clip from LifeSite News, a Catholic news agency. And this is what they've discovered about Fratelli Tutti and the Joe Biden campaign. Take a listen.
Pope Francis's latest encyclical is a shot at Trump right before the election. Even before Donald Trump became president, Pope Francis showed his willingness to engage in political interference in the U.S. electoral process by commenting during the presidential primaries that Trump was not a Christian because he was for building the border wall. Unbelievable, during that same in-flight press conference back in 2016, the Pope was asked to comment on same-sex legislation going on in Italy, to which he replied, and I quote, "The Pope doesn't get mixed up in Italian politics." A little while later, he said, and I quote, "The Pope is for everybody, and he can't insert himself in the specific internal politics of a country." And
so this is right off the bat. This is one of those things that liberals and socialists and Marxists and communists and Democrats and people on the left, what they love to do is they will make a statement, like Kamala Harris said during the Democratic debates, that she was not calling Joe Biden a racist. And she repeated that statement multiple times. She said, "No, Mr. Biden, I am not calling you a racist." And then every word after her mouth, after that, insinuated, implied, and inferred that Joe Biden was a racist. So why do Democrats talk like that? Because they can say that they're on the record as saying such and such a thing, when the reality is that was a mere statement for the press and it has nothing to do with their actual position. So if we were to have Pope Francis on this program right now, and if we asked him if he had a preference, if he had a bias, if he was supporting one candidate over the other, he would immediately say, "No, I am not. I am neutral. I don't take sides." That's the official statement. That's like when Kamala Harris said, "I am not calling Joe Biden a racist." And then she proceeds, after she says that, she then proceeds to rip him to pieces and talking about, "I was that little girl on the bus that your policies made me go to a segregated school, and you signed the 1994 crime bill, and you put black people in a prison." And she goes on and on and on and on. And every single point that she makes after she says, "I am not calling you a racist," she calls him a racist indirectly. And so this is what Pope Francis does. He is asked, "Are you against Donald Trump?" "No, I'm not." "Are you for Joe Biden?" "No, I'm not." But as you're about to see, that is not true at all. That is merely a talking point for the newspapers.
This, of course, makes no sense. Good Catholics can come to different conclusions on immigration and the need to have adequate border security, including a wall, very much actually like the huge wall that surrounds the Pope's own nation-state, Vatican City. Good Catholics, however, cannot accept homosexual civil unions, as church teaching has clearly stated, quote, under no circumstances can they be approved, end quote. So the Pope...
So we'll stop there again, too. Official Catholic teaching is that the Catholic Church is 100% against homosexual marriage, against homosexual unions, and for quite a while, that has been their official teaching. But that is not the teaching of Pope Francis. Pope Francis, on the other hand, is constantly doing things and saying things in support of the LGBTQ plus community. You remember a couple of years ago, he was asked about somebody who was gay, and he said, "Who am I to judge?" Well, if you're a Christian and you have the body, now he's not a Christian, obviously, he's a Catholic, but if you have a Bible that tells you right from wrong, it's the easiest thing in the world to judge exactly what's right and what's wrong. Back in August, we did this article here. Pope Francis is a huge supporter of the trans community. He tells a nun in Argentina that God will reward your work abundantly. And, the nun works with transsexual and transgender prostitutes in Argentina, and Pope Francis was commending her, saying that she is doing God's work. Now, are they working to get these people saved? No, they're not. They are working to confirm them in their sin. And Pope Francis says constantly, and I'm just looking for the article right now, but he said something just a couple of months ago that about the LGBTQ, and he's 100% in favor of it. And if I can find that article, I will pull it up and I will show it to you. But let's continue with this clip from LifeSite News.
Could very well, and should, come down on the murderous policies of the Democrat Party that stand proudly behind the murder of 1 million innocent American children each year via abortion. But he has no business taking sides on issues where Catholics are free to differ and sovereign states are free to decide within the realm of natural law. The antagonism toward Trump from the Pope has continued ever since. The Pope compared Trump to Herod, the border wall to the Berlin Wall, and even publicly questioned Trump's pro-life values. The release of the Pope's latest encyclical, timed perfectly to affect the U.S. presidential election, is no exception. Read with a political lens, it is painfully obvious that the Pope is pushing for Trump's defeat, even going so far as to downplay the importance of abortion to Catholics in a manner threatening the Catholic faith itself. I found it very interesting that the main paragraph bashing President Trump, not by name, of course.
So, and I found that article, and I just put it into the chat room, that article, Roman Rainbow, Pope Francis becomes gay-affirming, telling parent group of LGBTQ plus children that God loves them just the way they are. Pope Francis told a group of parents of LGBTQ plus children yesterday, this is back in September, that God loves your children as they are, and the church loves your children as they are, because they are children of God. And we told you in the opening part of this program that you are not a child of God because you have been born into this world. You are a child of Adam and Eve, and you are a child of them in their fallen condition. And so here you have Pope Francis just back in September. It's really just about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And he's telling the parents of LGBTQ plus children. I guess it's some type of an Italian parent support group for their children who identify as LGBTQ plus. And he is telling them, he has told them repeatedly that their children don't need to change. They are fine just the way they are. And God accepts them exactly the way they are. Having listened carefully to what she said, Pope Francis reassured her, the church does not exclude them because she loves them deeply. As he bade them farewell, the association gave Pope Francis a rainbow-colored t-shirt with the words, "In love, there is no fear," emblazoned on it. So, Pope Francis has been leading the Catholic Church, absolutely to they are almost there now. In terms of being a gay-affirming or LGBTQIAP-affirming, whatever the acronym is today. But the Roman Catholic Church, for all intents and purposes, with these statements that the Pope has been making, and remember, according to Roman Catholic doctrine, when the Pope speaks officially, Vatican doctrine says that the Pope is infallible. When he issues these statements, he has this phony title, but he has this title that he is the Vicar of Christ, that he is vicariously standing in for Jesus Christ on this earth. So when Pope Francis says things like, you know, who am I to judge, and God accepts LGBTQ plus children just the way they are, they don't have to change, and he affirms their lifestyle, that is absolutely somebody who is doing the work of the devil, because the Bible teaches exactly the opposite. Now, I love to see LGBTQ plus and trans people get saved. That is exciting to see. And man, oh man, when you see a trans person and they get saved and they get turned around, we did an interview last year with Laura Perry, and that was just a really, really good conversation that we had with her. And if you recall, she was caught up in the trans movement. And her mom started to listen to our Sunday night Bible studies, and she began to share that with her daughter, Laura. And Laura winds up getting saved, which is amazing. And she got saved, and she totally turned her back on the LGBTQ plus movement, and she started to teach people about the gospel of the grace of God, and she started telling other lost sinners how they can get saved. She wrote this great book called From Transgender to Transformed, and I just put the link into the chat room, and or you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and just go to the search box and type in Laura Perry, and this article will pop right up. But we love to see lost people get saved, especially the lost people of the LGBTQ plus movement. We love to see lost Catholics get saved. I'm coming up on 30 years of walking with the Lord, and I'm so excited about that. But when I got saved, I was a New Age Catholic. So when Pope Francis says things like, God loves your LGBTQ plus children just the way they are, and nobody needs to change, and everybody's fine, that is the work of the devil. He is actively working to see that you wind up in hell. Because if you believe that lie, if you believe that if you're a sinner, for whatever your sins are, that it's okay and you don't need to get saved and you don't need to get right, you're going to wind up in hell. And Pope Francis is one of the most active campaigners. Like, we talk about Pope Francis campaigning for Joe Biden. Pope Francis, he is a campaigner for Antichrist. He did this, we did this article back in 2017. And the article says, Pope Francis tells Catholics in Rome that a, quote, personal relationship with Jesus Christ is, quote, dangerous and harmful. So here you have Pope Francis 3 years ago telling his Catholic faithful that if they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that it is dangerous and harmful. Pope Francis is absolutely working for Antichrist. There is no question about it. I think personally he's the false prophet. I know the historical position has been that the Antichrist is going to be a Roman Catholic pope. But more and more, and now that we are the generation that's actually living in the end times, I see Pope Francis as the false prophet. But that's just my opinion. That's just my take on it. Let's conclude this clip from LifeSite News.
But there's no way to miss the reference. Is actually the paragraph with the same number as Trump's presidency. Trump is the 45th president of the United States, and Fratelli Tutti, paragraph 45, reads this way. And I quote, "Things that until a few years ago could not be said by anyone without risking the loss of universal respect can now be said with impunity and in the crudest of terms, even by some political figures. Nor should we forget that there are huge economic interests operating in the digital world capable of exercising forms of control as subtle as they are invasive, creating mechanisms for the manipulation of consciences and of the democratic process. The way many platforms work often ends up favoring encounter between persons who think alike, shielding them from debate. These closed circuits facilitate the spread of fake news and false information, fomenting prejudice and hate." End quote. And reading the encyclical, one finds a steady drumbeat of socialist talking points coming from the Pope, which seem more like catchphrases from the Democrat playbook than statements worthy of the Vicar of Christ. There are many other anti-Trump statements in the encyclical, which is why all the leftists are gleefully using clips all over Twitter in a vain attempt to try and cajole pro-life Catholics into voting for pro-abortion socialist Joe Biden. Pope Francis hits out at, quote, "myopic, extremist, resentful, and aggressive nationalism," end quote, which he sees in some countries where, quote, "a concept of popular and national unity is influenced by various ideologies in creating new forms of selfishness and a loss of the social sense under the guise of defending national interests," end quote. He criticizes again, I quote, "populist political regimes as well as certain liberal economic approaches maintain that an influx of migrants is to be prevented at all costs," end quote. But any truly pro-life Catholic who reads the nearly 200-page encyclical will be convinced of the need to pray for the conversion of Pope Francis, rather than convinced to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the most...
So there you have right there, and I forget that guy's name, but he's one of the leaders over at LifeSite News, which is a pro-life Catholic organization. He just said, as a Catholic, he said that Pope Francis is not saved. And when you look at, I mean, even just the most surface look at the statements of Pope Francis, he is an absolute socialist. And when this clip concludes in just a minute, we're going to look at some of the socialist statements of Pope Francis.
Pro-abortion U.S. ticket in American history. Pro-life didn't even make the cut in the paragraph where the Pope laid out what he says should be the biggest concerns for politicians. And I quote, "human trafficking, the marketing of human organs and tissues, the sexual exploitation of boys and girls, slave labor, including prostitution, the drug and weapons trade, terrorism, and international organized crime." That was the list. When the Pope actually talks about the principal threats to peace and security, abortion doesn't make the cut either. The list there is, quote, "terrorism, asymmetrical conflicts, cybersecurity, environmental problems, poverty." And anyone who has worked for the right to life of the unborn would think first and foremost of abortion when Pope Francis says this in the encyclical. He speaks of, quote, "extreme situations that may come to be seen as solutions in especially dramatic circumstances, without realizing that they are false answers that do not resolve the problems they are meant to solve and ultimately do no more than introduce new elements of destruction in the fabric of national and global security." But no, Pope Francis says, they are, war and the death penalty. I kid you not. Please do your own research and look it up. For LifeSite News, this is John Henry Weston, and may God bless you.
So there you go. His name is John Henry Weston from LifeSite News, a pro-life Catholic agency, and they do some good news stories. I'll check out their site from time to time and grab a story that's good, because they really are very strongly pro-life, which is a good thing. But being Catholic is not a good thing. So Pope Francis preaching socialism, saying that illegal immigrants have a right to the lands, goods, and services of all the nations that they enter into. Now, that clip that you just heard from LifeSite News was talking about his new encyclical called Fratelli Tutti. This article that we did on his socialist statements is also from this encyclical, Fratelli Tutti. And in it, the Pope says that the common destination of the earth's goods requires that this principle be applied to nations, to territories, and their resources. Seen from the standpoint not only of the legitimacy of private property and the rights of the citizens, but also of the first principle of the common destination of goods, we can then say, now listen to this, Pope Francis says, we can then say that each country also belongs to the foreigner, inasmuch as a territory's goods must not be denied to a needy person coming from elsewhere. So, where does Pope Francis get talking points like that? He gets them right from the Marxist, communist, socialist, Democrat, Bernie Sanders, the far radical left. That's absolutely what they believe, is that there is no such thing as private property. That's why they're all against border walls, even though the Vatican is ringed with a massive, I don't know how high this wall is, 12 feet, 20 feet. There is a massive stone and brick and concrete wall that goes all the way around the Vatican. But these socialists and these Marxists and these communists, they all say that there is no such thing as private property, and they want to have all borders come down. That's what George Soros has spent billions of dollars working on, his Open Society Foundation, where he believes that anybody should be allowed to go to any other country and receive free goods, free services, just simply because they have a need. That is socialism, and that's absolutely what kills any country. And why? Because countries can't afford to operate like that. Let's just say that you're an illegal immigrant and you're in a car accident here in America, and you have no, you're not a citizen because you're an illegal immigrant. You don't have a job. You don't have any money. Because we are a compassionate nation, they're going to take you to the hospital, and they are going to perform as much service on you as is needed to stabilize your condition and to save your life. And if you can't afford to pay for it, it will be paid for through a variety of different charitable organizations. And we do that not because the illegal immigrants have a right, because they have no right to hospital services that cost money. We do that because we're a compassionate nation. And there's a number of nations who would do kind of much the same thing. And I think that's a good thing to do. If you can afford to provide that for the people within your borders, and you give them life-saving medical care that they can't afford to purchase, that's great. But it's not a right. They are not entitled to that service. And why? Because hospitals cost money. nurses and doctors and anesthesiologists and orderlies and receptionists and janitors and all the people that help to make a hospital function, every single one of those people receive a salary. How do they get paid? They get paid when you have your appendix taken out. I don't know how much it would cost now, maybe $30,000, something ridiculous like that, but the vast majority of people have health insurance and it would be paid for that way. But a hospital and healthcare, they provide services that pay salaries. And these people make money on these goods and services. So the idea that you have a right to healthcare is, it's a democratic talking point. Nobody has a right to the goods and services that other people provide if they don't feel like giving them to you at no cost. And that includes healthcare. That includes hospital care. That includes colleges and universities. These things cost money. Teachers and professors have salaries that they receive. Textbooks cost money. The school buildings cost money. And the idea that you are entitled to that for free just simply because you have a need or simply because that's something that you want, that is a democratic socialist talking point. And that's exactly what Pope Francis is saying in Fratelli Tutti. In addition to the fact that he's taking multiple swipes at Donald Trump and doing it in a very cowardly fashion, you heard the clip and that paragraph where they're talking about fake news and world leaders that are out of control. That was paragraph number 45. And Donald Trump is the 45th president. So it was a very passive, aggressive swipe at the president, but it was a swipe nonetheless. And so Pope Francis right now, he's trying to convince the vast majority of Catholics that, yes, it is okay to vote for a president and a vice president who believe in due date abortion. Now, I want you to think about that. Those of you who are parents, I have cut the cords of three of my children. I have seen them come out of the womb with all the juices and the amniotic sacs and all this other stuff. I have watched it happen with my own eyes. And I have seen my daughter Kelsey come out of the womb and I cut her cord. I have seen my daughter, my son Calvin come out of the womb and I cut his cord and I prayed over him that God would make him a preacher. So maybe one day. And my daughter Megan, I watched her come out of the womb and I cut her cord as well. So what am I saying? Have you ever seen a baby that is just born? Have you ever seen how big even the small babies are? Have you ever seen the look on the face of a just born baby as it's trying to figure out exactly where it is and what's going on and what's happening to it? And it begins to cry as it takes its first breaths. Have you ever looked into the eyes of a newborn baby? Well, that's what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris agree with one accord, that it's okay to put that baby to death if the mother decides after it's born that she doesn't want it. And this was passed in New York City. Back, we did the story January 23rd of 2019, and this was the headline. It's party time. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo celebrates as he signs the Reproductive Health Act bill, authorizing the killing of babies up to the moment of birth. Think about that. I just asked you a moment ago if you have ever seen a newborn baby. I don't mean after it's all wrapped up in the swaddling clothes. I mean, have you ever seen a newborn baby dripping with fluid, still attached to the cord? And Cuomo says that it's okay to kill that baby even after it is born. New York City has an abortion rate of 23.1 per 1,000 women. That's over twice the national average of 11.8 per 1,000 women. 25 to 27% of pregnancies in New York State end in abortion. In New York City, now listen to this. In New York City, 78% of abortions are on African American babies, black babies. More black babies are being killed through abortion than are being born in New York City. Now, that is a fact. That is not a talking point. Right now, in 2020, there are more babies being aborted on a daily basis. Remember, they have twice the national average. There are more babies being aborted on a daily basis in New York than are being born. And this is something that Governor Andrew Cuomo, the same guy, Andrew Cuomo's the same guy who back at the start of the COVID crisis, remember how he was whining and crying about not having enough ventilators. And he was saying all this stuff about Trump. And it turns out that he had 4,000 ventilators that he was hiding in a closet. And he was demanding that Trump send him 30,000 ventilators. And guess what? He didn't even use the 4,000 that he had hiding in his closet. And so what does Andrew Cuomo do? Andrew Cuomo signs an executive order that puts COVID patients into nursing homes with sick and elderly people. And guess what? Over 11,000 people died in nursing homes in New York City and in New York State because Andrew Cuomo signed an executive order that forced COVID patients to be put into nursing homes. 11,000 people. I know people who have family members that have died of COVID. COVID's a real virus. And I've said that the entire time. It's been weaponized. And all this mandatory mask wearing and all this lockdowns and all these restrictions. That's fake. That's not real. And we've been exposing that every step of the way since the middle of March. But the virus itself, absolutely that's real. Can you die of COVID? You sure can. I see Pam is in the chat room right now. Can you remember it wasn't all that long ago that we were praying for Pam and she was so sick and she got sick twice with it. And we have had other people here at NTEB who have had COVID. And I believe one brother, his name is Alan, he got right to death's door. And remember his daughter, Crystal, coming into the chat room and asking that we pray for him. And he almost died of COVID. Andrew Cuomo says, put all the sick people in nursing homes where you have old people who have high blood pressure, diabetes, heart attacks, dementia, multiple sclerosis, whatever the condition is, congestive heart failure, that's a big one in nursing homes. And Cuomo says, yeah, put the virus patients, the active COVID virus patients, put them in the nursing homes all over New York State. So that's what they did. 11,000 people died. Same governor who back in 2019 signed the executive order that said that they can kill babies the day after they're born. And the New York State Senate passed the bill by a vote of 33-24. The assembly then passed the vote 92-47 in favor of the bill. It was the first change to New York's abortion law since 1970. And they were so excited and they were so proud of what they did that the governor ordered that the World Trade Center, the new Freedom Tower, the Patriot Tower, he ordered that the entire thing, now this is the really sick part. This is the really, really sick part, is they ordered the Freedom Tower, the World Trade Center, to be lit up in pink. And what does pink represent? It represents a baby girl. And when they passed this bill, which became law, saying that abortions could take place on the day that the baby was born, they lit the tower up in pink. And I don't know. I don't even feel like talking about this anymore. It's so unbelievably horrifically bad. Now, in just a second, we're going to get back to Pope Francis, but I just want to lay the groundwork and remind you of a few things about how the radical left is so abortion crazy. Bill Clinton said back in 1994 that all that they wanted was abortion to be rare, safe, and legal. Well, it's still safe. It's not safe for the baby, that's for sure. It's still legal, but it's not rare. It's happening over 3,200 abortions on a daily basis. And did you know that 820 of the daily abortions that take place across America, the majority are done through Planned Parenthood? Did you know that over 820 black babies are killed in abortion every single day? It is the number one most aborted ethnic group in the entire country. They kill 33% of all, well, no, that's not 33%. If it's 800 goes into, that's 25%. 25% of all babies aborted every single day are black babies. And yet the Democratic Party say that they are the Black Lives Matter Party. How is that possible? That is not possible. Because if Black Lives Mattered to the Black Lives Matter movement, they would, one of the very first things that they would say, for example, let me go to Google and type in something like number of blacks killed by police in 2019. Okay. The number of blacks killed by police in 2019, and let's see if we can get a reasonable number here. I'm not finding one right off the bat. In 2015, The Guardian says there was 1,134 people who black people who died at the hands of police. Let's see if I can find a more recent number. Let's see here. The USA Today, which is pretty much on the liberal side. And I'm not really coming up. See, this is bad journalism. They should put these numbers right at the top of the thing. But the USA Today is saying in 2019, about 1,000 people, 1,000 black people were killed at the hands of police. So let me open my calculator and let me see if I have 1,000 people. If I have 1,000 people and I divide that by 820, okay, the same amount of black people that were killed for whatever reason, whether they were guilty or innocent, or they were minding their own business, or they attacked the police, it doesn't matter the reason why. If we go with the number from USA Today that in 2019, 1,000 black people died at the hands of police officers around the country in a 365-day period, which represents all of 2019, the same number of black people were killed in abortion in just 28 hours. So every 28 hours of every single day of the month, of the week, of the year, the same number of people that were killed at the hands of police, and black people in all of 2019 are killed every 28 hours by Planned Parenthood. Now, does Black Lives Matter? Not to the Black Lives Matter movement. They can't possibly matter to the Black Lives Matter movement. When you have a Holocaust of 820 black babies being killed around the clock every 24 hours, and nobody on the left is standing up for that. In fact, they are saying that it is health care. They are saying that it is their reproductive rights. That's what the radical left says. They say that they have a right to these things. And they don't, because abortion is not health care. Abortion is murder. So why have I taken the last 15 minutes to talk about the evils of abortion? Because now you know what a sick individual Pope Francis really is, that he is going after Trump and he is supporting Joe Biden. Joe Biden says that he has, quote, a strong lifetime Catholic faith. Now, if you were Pope Francis and you were the vicar of Christ, if you were the representative for 1.5 billion Roman Catholics around the world, what a great time it would be to just simply say, we cannot support anyone who is in favor of abortion, especially not abortion on the day that the baby is delivered. And Pope Francis wouldn't even have to mention any particular party. He wouldn't have to mention anybody by name. But what has he been talking about all year long? He's been talking about illegal immigrants. He's been talking about the brotherhood of all men. He's been talking about the evils of capitalism. He hasn't talked about somebody who could possibly be the leader of the strongest, most powerful nation on earth by November 4th, and he hasn't opened his mouth one time with one word to say one thing against Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. So Pope Francis is absolutely covering for the Democratic Party. He is doing damage control for every time that those people open their mouths and they answer questions related to abortion, Pope Francis is silent. Not just once, not just twice. He is silent absolutely every time. He is complicit. He is complicit in the murders of these people. So when you hear people say that Pope Francis is pro-life, and, oh, he's a Catholic, so he must be against abortion. Pope Francis is not against abortion. Pope Francis is for abortion, because if he wasn't, he would be calling out Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. He would be calling out the entire Democratic Party. But he's not. And the reason why he's not is he ignores the Democrats who are passing laws that kill babies on the day that they're born, that kill black people at a 3-to-1 ratio over any other race of people. And he's covering for those people. He's protecting those people. And that is absolutely demonic. So Not only is Pope Francis not saved, not only is he headed for a fiery hell, not only if Pope Francis was to die today would he open his eyes in the burning flames of hell, but Pope Francis is actively doing the work of Antichrist, because the Bible says, this is what the Bible says about people who do the work of the devil. Take a listen to this. The Bible says in John chapter 8 that, and I'm just pulling it up, I don't want to mangle it. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Pope Francis is doing the work of the devil because he is allowing people who murder other people. He is affording those people protection. He is covering for them and aggressively attacking the people that seek to stop things like abortion. So Pope Francis, very, very bad man. And if you're a Roman Catholic, first and foremost, you need to get saved. There's no salvation in holy water. A priest can't forgive your sins. Lighting candles and praying to the saints is a meaningless exercise, at least. And at the worst, praying to saints could possibly open the door to allow demons to come in. And that's exactly what King Saul found with the witch at Endor. And when she pulled up the prophet, and it was highly likely that it was no prophet, but it was a demon. Either way, Saul died the next day. So, if you're a Roman Catholic, you need to get saved. There is no salvation in the Catholic Church. There is no salvation in saints. Mary is not listening to your prayers. And even if she was to listen to your prayers, she has no platform, no authority, no standing, no position to answer that prayer. She answered no prayers in the entire Bible. On the day of Pentecost, Luke tells us that she was part of the contingent in the upper room, part of the 120. She said nothing. She did nothing. I'm sure she prayed with people, but nobody came to Mary and asked her for her advice. Nobody asked her to do a miracle. None of the apostles turned to her and said, oh, can you give us some more inside information on Jesus? Can you put a good word in for me? Nobody ever said that. So if they didn't treat Mary like that while she was alive, why would you think that it would be okay to give her that position after that she is dead? It doesn't make any sense. If you're a Catholic, you need to get saved. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how I got saved. I got saved on March 14th, 1991. And I'm going to put a link to my personal testimony into the chat room. And if you're lost, I ask you to read my testimony and see if it makes sense to you, and see if perhaps the position that I was in might be fairly similar to the lost position that you find yourself in. So take a listen to my testimony, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you and that it will point you towards the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, this clip from Tucker, and this was his take on the debates the other night, speaking of Kamala Harris. This is Tucker talking about the ridiculous insanity of the Democratic Party. Take a listen.
Did you catch the VP debate last night? If you did, if you saw it, you've got to think the Biden people are beginning to regret picking Kamala Harris for the ticket. Maybe on paper, Harris made sense as the old guy's running mate. Apparently she did. But on stage, not appealing, to put it mildly. Unless you enjoyed being lectured in school by substitute teachers who tried to mask their insecurity with aggression, you probably don't want four more years of that. Even 90 minutes of it was hard to take. The good news is we did learn at least one important new thing from watching. We learned how Democrats plan to use identity politics going forward. We already knew that identity politics is an effective, maybe the most effective way to get Democrats to the polls in an election year. That's why they do it. What we learned last night is that identity politics has a bigger purpose. It is the justification that Democrats will use to tear down our centuries-old system of government and replace it with one-party rule with themselves in charge. The evidence came toward the end of last night's debate when Mike Pence asked Harris what the moderator didn't ask but should have. Does she and Biden plan to pack the Supreme Court of the United States? Does the Biden administration intend to convert our third branch of government into a partisan super legislature with lifetime tenure? It's a pretty simple question. It's a vital question. Political courts are the hallmark of banana republics and dictatorships. We don't want that here. Yet for weeks, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have refused to say what they will do if elected. So last night, Pence pushed again. Here's what happened.
Are you and Joe Biden, if somehow you win this election, going to pack the Supreme Court to get your way?
Joe and I are very clear. The American people are voting right now, and it should be their decision about who will serve on this most important body for a lifetime.
Thank you, Senator Harris.
People, Susan, are voting right now. They'd like to know if you and Joe Biden are going to pack the Supreme Court if you don't get your way in this nomination.
Let's talk about packing the court then. Let's talk about the fact. Yeah, I'm about to. And do you know that of the 50 people who President Trump appointed to the Court of Appeals for lifetime appointment?
Now, court packing is adding more justices to the Supreme Court. And that's what Republicans have been asking Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They have been asking them for weeks now, are you going to add more justices, liberals, of course, to the Supreme Court so that you can pack it in your favor? Because remember, when you're appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States, it is a lifetime position. So Joe Biden has refused to answer that question. Kamala Harris has refused to answer that question. And as you can hear what she's saying here, she did not answer that question on the debates on Wednesday night, even though Mike Pence asked her repeatedly.
Not one is black. This is what they've been doing. You want to talk about packing a court? Let's have that discussion.
Wait a minute, you might ask. What does court packing have to do with the number of black judges on the federal circuit courts of appeals? Those seem like completely unrelated concepts. Was Kamala Harris trying to dodge the question? Unfortunately, she was not dodging it. She was answering the question, and she was answering it honestly, believe it or not. If she and Joe Biden win next month, they will indeed pack the Supreme Court. They'll justify doing that in the name of diversity. They will tell you the Trump administration is racist for not selecting judges based on the color of their skin. They'll tell you that 9 is a very racist number of Supreme Court seats. In fact, it's a number some dead white guy came up with a long time ago. See, it's racist. They'll tell you we need to diversify the court, and of course that means a supermajority of partisan Democrats. That's what they're going to tell you. For now, they're not telling you anything, though. Joe Biden repeated that position today.
You'll know my opinion of court packing when the election is over. Now, look, I know it's a great question, y'all, and I don't blame you for asking it. But you know, the moment I answer that question, the headline in every one of your papers will be about that.
Did you hear that? Has any presidential candidate in history ever used that line? You feel like all lines have been used before, but this one? I can't answer your question because if I do answer it, everyone will talk about my answer. What does that even mean? Truly, we have no idea what it means. But we do know that none of this is going to stop with the Supreme Court. This summer, Barack Obama used a funeral service to tell us that the filibuster is a relic of Jim Crow. It's a racist procedure. Any Senate procedure that limits the power of the Democratic Party is, by definition, racist. That's the new standard. Identity politics is the most powerful political weapon they have. Don't take it at face value. There's a purpose for it. And of course, identity politics is also a handy shield. We saw that repeatedly last night. At one point, Pence pointed out that Democrats have attacked Amy Coney Barrett for the crime of being Catholic. That seems out of bounds. How did Harris respond? She responded by describing herself as a person of faith.
First of all, Joe Biden and I are both people of faith. And it's insulting to suggest that we would knock anyone for their faith.
Now, did you hear that? Kamala Harris said that both she and Joe Biden are, quote, people of faith, end quote. Whenever you hear somebody say that they are a person of faith and they won't go any farther, it is a 99.9% certainty that that person of faith is not a Bible-believing Christian. And why? Because think about all the saved and born-again Bible-believing Christians that you have ever met in your entire life, or the ones that you know now. Do you know any saved, born-again Bible believers who are shy about their faith, who are shy about mentioning the name of Jesus Christ? I don't know any. I don't know a single Bible believer. Now, I'm not saying evangelical or charismatic or any of that other nonsense. I'm not talking about a religion here. I'm talking about people who are Bible believers, and you know them from the first 10 seconds that you talk with them, because they are not shy about their faith. They're not shy about mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. They have no problem praying over a meal in a public restaurant. They have no problem handing out a gospel tract or witnessing to a lost soul at the gas station. Any Bible believer that I've ever known in my entire life would never call themselves a person of faith. They would say that they were a born-again Christian. That's what they would say. They would say that they were a Bible believer. They would say that Jesus Christ was their Savior. When you hear people talking about, oh, I'm a person of faith, that is a dodge. That means that you don't have any faith in Jesus Christ. That means that you have religion is what that means. And so when you hear people talking about, oh, I'm a person of faith, really? Then how does your faith prevent you from mentioning the name of Jesus Christ with your lips? Why can't you say his name? Why can't you talk about your salvation experience, Mr. or Mrs. Person of Faith? People of faith are mostly Laodiceans, lost Catholics, Kamala Harris, whatever she is. I was doing a little bit of research before the program today, and turns out that she was raised by a Hindu mother and a Jamaican father. So her early years, she was raised to be a Hindu. And then when she moved to America, she got involved in some charismatic churches, and she doesn't really believe any of it. She just kind of has a cultural experience with those things. She has a mostly white family. She's not black at all. When we say black, that means one thing. It means African American. She is not black. She's not an African American. She would be one of those brown people of color that she often talks about. But she's not black. She was not raised in the black community. She was raised, with largely white Jewish people. And, when you hear her talk, I mean, if you really listen, I mean, she has that Jewish inflection of what you would hear from like New York City or Chicago or someplace like that. So when Kamala Harris says that she is a person of faith, that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And how many people of faith would support due date abortion? How many people of faith would believe in killing babies?
Oh, come on. A person of faith now? How? What exactly does Kamala Harris worship apart from power? Honestly, we'd like to know. If you know, tell us. She seems like the most secular candidate ever to run for national office. That's not an attack on her, by the way. Plenty of decent secular people. But it's true. Not that truth matters in this case. For the purposes of last night's debate, Kamala Harris identified as a person of faith, and that's all that matters. The progressive left understands race and gender and, yes, religious faith as means to an end. They're identities. They don't have independent meanings. They are tools used to win arguments and achieve power. Kamala Harris cycled through various identities last night. "I'm speaking," she barked again and again when Mike Pence tried to respond to her. In other words, "I'm a woman. That's why you're interrupting me."
The vice president said, when asked, "Well, why didn't y'all tell anybody?" He said, "Because the president wanted people to remain calm."
Well, let's get
back. No, but Susan, this is important.
I want to add,
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
I'm speaking.
Joe Biden has been very clear. He will not raise taxes on anybody who makes less than $400,000
a year.
He said
he's going to repeal the Trump tax cuts.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
I'm speaking.
I'm so glad we went through a little history lesson. Let's do that a little more. In 1864...
Well, I'd like you to answer the question.
No, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Please.
Okay.
Democrats thought that was appealing. What world do they live in? They must have, because already you can find T-shirts and mugs online with the phrase, "I'm speaking." Obviously, it was planned. Kamala Harris's many allies in the media were impressed, too. They knew exactly what Kamala Harris was really saying. "I'm a woman." And they were unanimous in their conclusion. Mike Pence, who's been married to the same woman for 35 years, interrupted Kamala Harris because he's a sexist who hates women.
She was not overly assertive throughout this entire debate.
Well, Pence was.
Pence was a mansplainer in chief. I get it.
Mr. Mike Mansplainer all night.
I understand that.
He repeatedly interrupted her. He demanded, well, he also repeatedly interrupted the other woman in the room, which is the moderator, who seemed to at some point lose control of him.
You have a reporter and a woman candidate, and both of them you're interrupting, both of them you're attacking. Not a good sign.
But I think a lot of people were noticing some mansplaining going on tonight.
He kept interrupting his moderator, a woman, and his opponent, a woman. Some may feel that that showed lack of respect.
Well,
think of how ridiculous that is, that you're in a debate, in a vice presidential debate, and debates can clearly get heated and people can jump all over each other and people can interrupt each other. But no, you can't interrupt Kamala Harris because she's a woman. And if you interrupt her or you try to refute something that she says, you're a mansplainer, you're misogynist, you're sexist. Do you see how the Democrats play this card? This is why these debates are really, on one hand, they're a terrible idea, because they're never going to allow the truth to come out. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris were asked repeatedly, "Are you going to pack the courts?" And they have refused every single time to answer the question. And then when Pence wants clarification and won't let her get away with these evasive non-answers, he is immediately cut down as a mansplainer who's a misogynist. But on the other hand, the debates are a really good idea because you can see very, very clearly who you're voting for. And if I was a Democrat, and I have never been a Democrat in my entire life, I have never not been a registered Republican. But if I was a Democrat, I could not. I'm not saying that I would vote for Trump if I was a Democrat, but man, oh man, if I was an actual Democrat, I could not. There is no way that I could vote for these two people. It is horrific. Absolutely horrific. All right, let's get to the last point that we're going to talk about today. The last point is, after the debate on Wednesday night, and it was obvious that Mike Pence absolutely mopped the floor with Kamala Harris, and she had no rebuttal. And she just had stupid talking points like "I'm speaking" and just these ridiculous statements that she made. The day after that debate took place, the very next day, that's when Nancy Pelosi said that it was time to form a committee to talk about removing Donald Trump from power via the 25th Amendment before the election. Now, what does that show you? Well, here's the front cover of the New York Post. Russia impeachment. Now Pelosi floats 25th Amendment to remove Trump. She's cuckoo. And that's spelled C-O-U-P. C-O-U-P. And we all know what a coup is. A coup is when radicals begin to overthrow a government and attempt to seize power. And have you seen these articles where they say Joe Biden is up 7% in Michigan? He's up 14 points in Ohio. He's up 17 points in California, wherever. And if you were to even believe half of these headlines from the fake news media, Joe Biden is absolutely running away with the election a month out. But those headlines aren't true, and those polls are not true. How do I know that the polls are not true? Well, think about it. Use common sense. Use logic and reason. If those polls were true, and if Joe Biden was really up by 14% in Ohio or up by 7% in Florida, if that was actually true, Nancy Pelosi wouldn't be talking about removing Trump with the 25th Amendment before the election. If you were really doing that well in the polls, you would just let it ride until Election Day. You would keep doing exactly what you were doing. You wouldn't change a thing. If you're a boxer and your opponent is being pummeled by you every time that you throw a punch, why would you change your strategy? You wouldn't suddenly start hanging back. You wouldn't suddenly start doing all sorts of fancy footwork that you weren't previously doing. You wouldn't suddenly change the type of punch combinations that you were throwing, because what you were doing was working very, very well. And it is an absolute tried and true rule in any walk of life, that when what you're doing is working, don't change it. The old expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. A very famous military statement is, don't change your horse in midstream. And it is a tried and true rule in every single walk of life that if what you're doing is working, the advice is, the common sense, the prevailing wisdom is that you keep doing what you're doing because it is working so very, very well. But guess what? The Democrats are desperate. The Democrats know that they can only keep up these phony polls for so long. And after a while, it's going to become clear to the American people, it's going to become clear to the American people that the fake news media has been lying. They have been covering. They have been creating a false narrative that doesn't exist. Huffington Post, back in 2016, they had this tweet. Our pollster model gives Hillary Clinton a 98.1% chance of winning the presidency. They published that on November 7th of 2016. So even as late in the game as Election Day, the fake news media was telling people that Clinton had a 98.1% chance of winning. And that wasn't even close to the truth. That was an out-and-out fabrication. So why did they lie? Why did they do that? They do that because they're hoping that if they get enough people believing a lie, that people will change their vote. And people will say, well, I guess if Trump really only has a 1.6% chance of winning, I'm not going to waste my vote. And I'm going to give it to Hillary Clinton because at least she has a chance to win. And that's why they make up these phony narratives and these phony campaigns and all of this nonsense, because they're trying to psychologically play you into being so discouraged that you're not going to vote for Donald Trump and that you'll vote for Joe Biden. But guess what? We live here in Northeast Florida, a little town called St. Augustine, America's oldest city, one of the top 10 tourist destinations in the entire state of Florida. Every single year, except for this year, of course, but every single year we get a minimum of 6 to 9 million tourists from all over the world who come to America's oldest city to see the beautiful sights and sounds of our gorgeous historic downtown area. Okay, so we have lived in St. Augustine, Florida, which is just south of Jacksonville. We have lived here for almost a decade. And guess what? When I drive through the streets, like later on this afternoon, I'm going to be taking another load of Flight 777 t-shirts to the post office. When I drive through St. Augustine, in just the 11 miles from here to the post office, I see dozens and dozens and dozens of signs for Donald Trump. And I'm not talking about the little signs that you push in the ground on the metal poles. I'm talking about the type of Trump signs that are about 10 feet wide by about 5 feet high. And they have these, it's a whole wooden frame, and I see dozens of those signs. I see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars with Trump, Pence, Make America Great Again stickers, and I see almost nothing with Joe Biden. Almost nothing. I see boats when I go down to the marina. I see dozens and dozens of boats that are waving Trump flags. And everywhere that I go in just my little town of St. Augustine, Florida, Trump has off the charts representation. And that's why it's always shocking to me that when I come back from the post office, from driving through my town of St. Augustine, Florida, and I come back to the news studio, and I get in front of my computer, and I go to Twitter, I'll see MSNBC, I'll see CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, NPR, I'll see every single news outlet talking about how Biden is crushing Trump in Florida, and I scratch my head, and I'm like, who are these people polling? They can't possibly be polling people from Jacksonville, which is the largest county in America. They can't possibly be polling people from St. Augustine, which is America's oldest city. And then when I get on Route 95 and say that I drive down to Fort Lauderdale, which is about 4.5 mile hours south of St. Augustine, I will see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of vehicles with Trump stickers. And I will see two, three, maybe. If I was to get on Route 95 right now and drive the 4.5 hours down to Fort Lauderdale, tops, I would see six vehicles with a Biden sticker. And tops, there would be so many vehicles with Trump stickers that it wouldn't be safe for me to drive the car and watch the bumpers at the same time. I would have to have somebody else in the passenger seat counting the number of Trump stickers. That is the type of support that Trump has in Florida. So here we are, as we conclude today's program, here we are, and we are less than a month away. We're probably 3 weeks and about 2 days away from the election on November 3rd. And I just want to remind you, if you're a Roman Catholic, and if you call yourself a good Catholic, how on earth can you vote for baby killers who as a party agree that abortion is health care and that a woman has a right to murder her baby after it's born? Joe Biden believes that, and he calls himself a good Catholic. Kamala Harris believes that, and she calls herself a woman of faith. Pope Francis hasn't opened his mouth one time to rebuke that. So I can only conclude, that Pope Francis is in full agreement with the abortion policies of the Democratic Party. May God have mercy on their souls. And with that, we have come to the end of our time for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this program has been a blessing to you. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another edition of the Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great weekend, everybody, and be safe out there.
Still be